Morning, Discovery. My name is Justin Kinnishoff. I am one of the elders here at Discovery. And I am a big softy. I love hugs, sappy texts of encouragement, and quality time with the people who are important to me. I'm a sucker for feel-good comedy, Pixar movie, and rom-coms. And I cry almost at the climax of all these movies. And when friends send me cards with meaningful encouragement. I'm like a dog. If you and I are tight, I'll be by your side. And if you bake me something delicious, even better. For the past couple of years, I've been in a phase of life where I've been learning a lot about my emotions. You see, sometimes being a softie is hard. In fact, there have been several times within the past 2 years when I have lamented being a softie. I've literally prayed to God, God, why did you care? Why did you create me to care so deeply? Why did you create me to care for those around me as much as I do? And why did you create me like this? Because the truth is, the pain for me comes when I invest deeply into relationships and later have to experience the pain of saying goodbye to those relationships. Which brings me to our character this morning, Barnabas. In my teaching in February, I briefly introduced Barnabas as someone who sold a plot of land and gave the proceeds to the apostles for them to use fit as they needed. And the apostles nicknamed this man Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Now, Barnabas's ministry is just one of the many great things about him, and he would be a fine character for any number of teachings. Barnabas was instrumental in Paul's starting, becoming an apostle and missionary for the early church. Barnabas was generous, loyal, and believed and stuck up for those who others discounted. But I identify with Barnabas because he too invested deeply into the relationships around him and experienced the pain and separation with those he was deeply connected to. This morning we'll be in Acts 15 at the end of the chapter, and leading up to this part in 13, 14, and 15, it chronicled the first missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas. And as we enter our verses this morning, starting in verse 36, Paul and Barnabas are talking about their second missionary journey. Let's enter their story here at verse 36. After some time, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit each city where we previously preached the word of the Lord to see how the new believers are doing." Barnabas agreed and wanted to take along John Mark. But Paul disagreed strongly, since John Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in their work. Their disagreement was so sharp that they separated. Barnabas took John Mark with him and sailed for Cyprus. Paul chose Silas, and as he left, the believers entrusted him to the Lord's gracious care. Then he traveled throughout Syria and Sicilia, strengthening the churches there. I don't know if you know it, but there is a lot of emotion in that passage. Did you notice in verse 38, it says, "But Paul disagreed strongly." And especially in verse 39, where the author describes the disagreement as so sharp. May not sound that bad. Our lead pastor and some of our more scholarly teachers like to throw in some Greek into their sermons. I do not consider myself to be scholarly, but in solidarity, I have included one Greek word in my sermon. The word is paroxysmos, which means sharp disagreement. Now, this word is incredibly rare in the whole Bible and is only used once, this time, in the New Testament in this way. And a similar word in Hebrew is only used in two places in the entirety of the Old Testament. Once in Deuteronomy 29, and once in Jeremiah 39:37, both expressing God's intense anger over his people's rebellion. The author of this passage in Acts had a very specific intent when he wrote about this disagreement. They wanted the reader to understand that this was no small tiff about where Paul and Barnabas wanted to eat that night for supper. This was a very significant disagreement. But what exactly was the big deal? You see, Barnabas wanted to take along his cousin John Mark, but Paul didn't want to because John Mark had abandoned them on their first missionary journey. The specifics of why John Mark left them isn't really relevant to our discussion. But in the end, Paul flat out refused to give him another chance. And as a result, Paul and Barnabas split up for their second missionary journey. Barnabas and John Mark went to Cyprus, and Paul took Silas throughout Syria and Cilicia. Now, a couple of things stick out to me here. First, Paul and Barnabas parted ways unreconciled. The passage indicates that they tried to reconcile their disagreement, but ultimately they couldn't and went their separate ways. This teaches me that I should do my best to reconcile and resolve an argument, but if it's not productive, don't force it. I can still be engaged in God's mission. Now, this means a lot to me because I've been a part of Discovery since early 2008. And during this time, Discovery has gone through several leadership changes, including a lead pastor change in 2017. I've experienced a lot of people come and go. Many of the people who have been part of Discovery have been connected to the university in some way. And a lot of people in this community are here for a relatively short amount of time. Some leave because their time at the university has come to an end. Some leave because they enter a new life stage and require a new place of residence. But some leave because of a disagreement with where God is leading Discovery. Unfortunately, this is pretty common in churches. People leaving is always hard. Doesn't matter the circumstance. But leaving with unresolved conflict is by far the hardest. Now, just because we can't reconcile in a moment doesn't mean that we will never reconcile. There is hope for reconciliation. Scripture indicates that Paul and Barnabas and Paul and John Mark did likely end up reconciling. In 1 Corinthians 9:6, Paul refers to Barnabas as being a fellow worker, indicating mutual respect. In Colossians 4:10, Paul mentions Mark, and most notably in 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul requests the presence of Mark and says that he is helpful to him in his ministry. These passages teach me that we can be reconciled with those that we fall away from. That process could take years, as was the case with Paul and Barnabas. But we need to be patient and ready to act when God presents the opportunity for reconciliation. There's a walking route that my coworkers and I go on pretty much every single day. And I never see anyone I know. Then one day, I'm walking along, and I hear Justin from behind me. I turn around and see a person who used to go to Discovery I hadn't seen in several years and who did not leave under the best of conditions. We talked for a while, and after about 5 minutes, I was able to say back that I forgave them. Mind, I did not see anybody on this walk for years. And then boom, God provided this opportunity for reconciliation. It is possible, we just need to be patient. Now, coming back to this passage, another thing that I thought of is how we might assume that nothing good can come from this kind of disagreement. But despite the conflict, they remained faithful to the mission that they had been called to and did not resort to divisiveness or slandering. Each was called by God to spread the good news, and even though they couldn't resolve this conflict, they moved forward in that mission. God worked through their conflict to bring about good. And the missionary efforts of the early church by these two gospel spreaders was multiplied on that day. God used this separation to quicken the growth pace of the early church. And there are several other examples throughout the story of Scripture where God uses separation and conflict to expand his kingdom. And in Acts 8, 1 through 4, the church in Jerusalem was persecuted, and the believers were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Verse 4 says that those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. God can even use persecution to spread his church. Something else that I noticed in our passage is that the disagreement between Paul and Barnabas wasn't about missional misalignment or some theological issue. It was relational. Paul was focused on the mission readiness of John Mark and his reliability. Barnabas was focused on John Mark's restoration and his potential serving missionally moving forward. Both Paul and Barnabas had valid perspectives. Neither was inherently wrong. Sometimes conflict and separation aren't about right versus wrong, but about different values coming into tension. And those tensions are not always resolved. During my tenure, I've experienced people leaving Discovery when we have moved into new expressions. And during these transitions, our values and their values come into tension. Tensions that weren't always able to be resolved, and they felt they needed to leave. And even though those separations have been hard, I have to trust that God can use them for his purposes. Now, even though I just said that Paul and Barnabas both had valid points in their disagreement, I do want to point out that Paul might be acting a little bit hypocritical here. When we first meet Paul in the New Testament, he is known for persecuting Christians. He's responsible for the suffering, incarceration, and even death of many believers. Then he has this incredible encounter with Jesus that leads to his conversion and repentance. But the church leaders were, understandably, pretty wary of him. They remembered him as a persecutor. Then Barnabas comes in. In Acts 29, it says that Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, who was also Paul, had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him. Barnabas believed in Paul when no one else did. He stood up for him and vouched for his transformation so that Paul could be included in God's mission. And we see a similar moment in Acts 13 when John Mark deserts Paul and Barnabas. So when Barnabas wants to bring John Mark on their second journey, Paul refuses. As he had done with Paul earlier, Barnabas stands by John Mark, believing in him when no one else did. And part of me thinks, really, Paul? But how often do we pass judgment on others without pausing to consider first whether we might be more like them than we care to admit? I know I have. When looking at our passage, something that scholars don't really talk about are the emotions that Paul and Barnabas were likely feeling. Now, the passage doesn't specifically note either Paul nor Barnabas' emotions during this time, but I can't really imagine that they really felt great after their disagreement. I'm sure the disagreement was very painful for them. After all, they were allies. They were partners, friends, co-workers in the faith. Their first missionary journey likely lasted a year or two. Think about that. They were together, side by side, ministering to people for 1 to 2 years. Not just on Sundays or in our neighborhood communities, but every single day. Think of the experiences they shared. The laughter from the jokes they likely shared. The grief and disappointment of people rejecting them and the good news that they had to share. The message of hope that they brought. And also the joys. 2 years of memory, and now they have to separate because they can't come to an agreement on this issue. I bonded with a lot of people here at Discovery over the years, many of whom I served alongside in leadership. Many of these relationships were born out of sometimes very challenging situations, but also really good situations. And I served alongside these folks for many years. And except for those I'm currently in leadership with, or have recently been in leadership with, I've had to say goodbye to nearly all of them. A lot of people left during leadership transitions or when God was leading Discovery into new expressions. And frankly, others left because they were burned out. Not all of my relationships were lost due to challenges. My closest friends left because their time at the university had come to an end, and it was time for them to return home. And even though I was happy for each of them, the pain of not having them nearby is still real, and the hole left by their absence remains. Each of us will experience the pain of saying goodbye to those that we're close to. It is something that nobody can escape from. Whether it comes suddenly or after a long while, the absence left behind can sometimes be unbearable. And depending on the closeness of the relationship and the way the departure happened, the pain can linger, sometimes for years. Even after 5 years, I still mourn some of those relationships. And my heart aches for what was, and for what likely will never be again in this lifetime. And it's this grief that is what led me into this season of reflection. As I entered this season, I realized that God was using all of this hard stuff to shape me. I realized that I couldn't move forward until I took the time to sit in the tension of grief and how God made me. Now, this reflection has gone deeper than I ever thought. I was expecting to spend a year processing this stuff and then come out with some kind of statement or some kind of resolution, but that's not really what's happening. In fact, I am finding that it's probably going to be a never-ending process. But what I have learned is that I have a fear of loss of connection. My natural tendency when faced with challenging situations or conflict is to shut down to my own feelings and needs. I go along with others to maintain peace and a connection, not thinking about what I really need or what I want. In fact, it takes a lot of effort for me to actually figure out what I'm really feeling and what my preferences are. I'm also finding that emotions are incredibly complex. I expected to process sadness, but I've ended up uncovering guilt, shame, feelings of worthlessness, and anger. And I've grappled with each of these while also going through seasons of depression. It has been the most challenging season of my life. mainly because there's no formula for feeling better. There is no do this and you'll feel better. Do this and you'll be healed. But through this season, I have gained clarity in who I think God has created me to be. I believe he has created me partly for connection, but also for creating opportunities for others to connect. And one place that I actively participate in this is through my workplace. Almost every day, I invite my coworkers out for a morning walk. We talk about our days, talk about our weekends, talk about things that are going on in our lives. It's an opportunity for everyone to get to know each other a little bit more. And then in the afternoons, I invite one or two of my closer friends in the office for another afternoon walk. And through those times, God has provided opportunities to go even deeper in conversation. I believe that the pain of separation that I've experienced has ultimately prepared me for these missional opportunities, to be present to people in a way that I wouldn't have otherwise. As we move toward the close, I'd like to invite the band back up. You see, the truth is, it hurts to care deeply. It hurts to say goodbye. It hurts to risk being known. And it might seem easier to shut down to our emotions, shut down to relationships, shut down to our preferences in the face of disagreement and challenges. But staying tender and available to what God is calling us toward, even after the pain, is a sacred calling. It's what Jesus did, and it's what we're invited to do. When we remain tender and available, God can continue to use us to expand his kingdom. And Jesus is our ultimate model when it comes to tenderness in the face of pain. Even though he knew Judas was going to betray him, Jesus still washed his feet. After Peter denied him three times that he even knew Jesus, Jesus restores him. And on the cross, Jesus prayed for his executioners, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Friends, let us choose to remain tender in the face of pain and separation. Each week we take part in communion, and there are tables around the theater to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. 1 Corinthians 11:23-26 says, "The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Pray with me. Jesus, as you have modeled, help us to remain tender and open to being known by those around us and you. We love you and we thank you. Amen. Yeah.